All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
Welcome, everybody, here at the heart of Fort Greene, WWXXPQ Studios.
On the Strip.
On the Strip with your hosts, Bretton Scott and...
Scott Baio.
Scott Baio. That's right.
I mean, Zara Tangora, I'm
Welcome
sorry.
To episode 7 of Life's a Banquet, the podcast. The show that is edible, spreadable, and...
Pourable.
That's right.
Pourable. We're going to talk really, really fast, kind of like those people who did lottery, because we just already recorded this, and then everything got shut off in the middle, and we have to record the entire thing again from the beginning. Yeah. So,
no need to put your phone here. 1.5 is it. 1.5 is the new speed of the thought. Yes, everybody's looking at information more edible, spreadable, and pourable. Starring your host, Curtin Scott, and Zara Tangora. Zara, how are you today?
Oh, I am great. Actually, you
that's
know...
That's really funny. Thank you for that. The whole thing is that... Well, hold on a second now. It's been a really nice day today. It's been very, very nice in spring. 60 degrees, but I don't remember. 74 degrees at a high!
Mm.
Cheers.
You know what? Maybe this is like Groundhog Day. Maybe we actually did the podcast wrong the first time and we're just being punished and now we're going to have to record it again and again until we get it perfect.
So we just recorded a very beautiful episode.
It was and so funny.
Battery ran out.
We had a guest star, John Travolta, came by for a couple minutes to talk to us and then now he's gone. He's never going to come back.
Good news is we have a shocking news flash.
That is true. Maybe that's why this happened. We went out to get more batteries and beer.
So we live in Fort Greene. Podcast.
Bretton lives in Fort Greene.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I live in Carroll Gardens.
Well, what the business darling lives where it lives in your ears. And speaking of which, I was listening to, I was watching more Two Fat Ladies.
Oh, love them.
And I never
love
saw
those
this
fat ass motherfuckers.
But I watched afternoon tea.
Okay.
And they made a chocolate fruit tart. They made this weird...
How dare they? I don't like chocolate and fruit.
I know, we were
thinking?
Just talking about that. We're going to tell you everything we just talked about.
If you had listened to the hidden episode, you'd know we hate chocolate and fruit.
With a fresh view. But listen, the cool thing is...
Two Fat Ladies.
They were at a cricket tournament, and these old people were like, yeah, I'm going to find you a kitchen. And it was at a gorgeous manor in the English countryside.
Oh, wow.
And they made this weird... And there was like young boys... playing cricket with old men. It was all so strange. And they set up this nice little buffet table. And I thought, you know what? As you know, when Life's a Banquet really takes off, thanks to you, dear listeners, we're going to set up at some various... We wanted to have it like that tent thing, like in the British, you know, the Great British Break Off. And we'll have a cute little tent. Except we're not going to compete. We're going to make you fish taco dip.
Oh, yeah.
And shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, and we'll just have that out. And then what we want to do is eventually our dream, I guess, would be to ask people questions. Like, hey, what do you do with sunchokes? And you're like, sunchoke? I thought this was an old potato.
I thought this was a cardoon. What the heck is a cardoon anyway?
Cardoons are one of the great mysteries of the universe, aren't they?
You know what? Every time...
Goddamn cardoons, that's what
cardoons,
I say.
I have them at a restaurant.
Fuck them.
I've made them, and every time I'm like... I go, what's a cardoon? And then I Google it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I've done this before.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to make a statement right now. Fuck cardoons. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Dave Gould, if you're listening, used to make some great, which I'm sure you're not, used to make some great cardoon dishes at Roman's. I don't think cardoons are worth the effort. They're just not. I realize that it like gets to be winter time and you're like, oh, like another beet. Another blood orange, but like some things aren't worth it. It takes so long for this basically
stem. It's
the
sticky
stem, and you have to peel it, you soak it, you fry it.
Well, if you braise it for 42 hours, it really releases some of the fibers and they start to get really tender.
Some things aren't meant to be eaten, that's what I say.
And then it takes on the flavor of whatever you cook it with, so why not just skip the cooking and have the thing you're having the flavor with?
I say just have a parsnip. Have a parsnip instead. It's essentially the same thing.
Love a parsnip.
Flavor-wise. It's the same texture. I don't know. Cardoons are for the birds. Literally.
But then...
they're bird food.
But then when you're calling your friends, and you're FaceTiming and be like, oh, last night we had a really cool side dish of cardoons.
Yeah, and they're like, what's a cardoon? You're so Brooklyn.
And you're gonna ask us at that little tent, Life's a Banquet tent.
Exactly. So
we're gonna set up at the farmer's market and we're gonna say, those are tomatillos, ma'am. You're gonna, and then nobody, yeah. That's the truest. That was a true story that I had.
That's, oh, right. Someone thought they were getting a, what they think?
It was like an eggplant or something, like a.
Oh, one of those little green Johns.
Yeah, and then the sign, okay, so there was a sign at the Union Square Farmer's Market, and this guy, that guy.
Excuse me.
Like that guy with his mom and dad, that know-it-all
mom
guy.
Mom and dad visiting, he's like, or like, I'm going to take you to the farmer's market.
He lived on 29th Street.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Murray Hill, and his mom and dad were coming all the way down to Union Square from the Upper East, from Yorkville.
What a loser. I'm just kidding.
And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sounds great.
His mom's like, what's that, honey? And he's like, oh, those are cardoons. And he like, or something, like eggplants. And it was a tomatillo.
Right.
And he just said it so confidently. And I thought, oh, of course.
That's how this podcast actually started. When this happened to you.
Oh my God, that was the eureka moment.
I know, because I remember we were at Brooklyn Social. And you were like, I can't believe this fucking guy thought an eggplant was a fairy tale eggplant or whatever.
I was mad the whole week.
Yeah, he's like, he thought it, he just said it with such confidence. And then we were talking about how we would start a podcast where we went to the farmer's market and harassed people about what they were going to do with their vegetables. Then we came to and realized that is dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous, but we are going to set, first of all, permitting. You know, guerrilla efforts. It's all very, you know, and it can be very crowded at the market.
Right.
But it is, I do go to the market, as I do every Wednesday, Saturday, whenever I can find one, Sundays in Carroll Gardens. And I always get in conversation with somebody, and, you know, we're looking and I'm like, oh my gosh, what do you do with those? And that's why I love farmer's market.
Yeah, I love the farmer's market too. So the reason that we are re-recording this podcast is because our thing died and we run up to the store
around the corner.
Mr. Mango.
Five limes for a dollar.
The greatest place ever.
Cheaper than Costco.
It's cheaper than water.
Cheaper than water and open 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Mr. Mango is a great place.
Yeah.
It's a, what do you call it? Like a, somewhere between a bodega and a grocery store.
You know what? Yeah. A gross bodega.
It's not a gross bodega.
A grostega.
Yeah, that's fine.
Exactly what you want to
say. So we're on our way. Bretton, you want to pick up the story from here? This is your homie that we ran into.
So, picture it. Fort Greene Place, sunny afternoon. The sun's setting down through the, right down Fulton. And I ran into my friend Oscar. He was an old waiter that used to work at this restaurant that was in Fort Greene called Stone Home. And we used to call it Stone Hard.
Oh, really?
Like,
why?
We were like, oh, that's
a
gay...
Stone?
Oh. No, we were like, on Tuesday night, it's a gay bar called Stone Hard.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And then I also called it Stoned Home because I would just sit in the banquette and smoke pot.
I never went there.
I went there a lot. It was my closest neighborhood wine bar. You order one, you get four.
Yeah.
And that's why they're not open anymore.
Yeah.
So listen.
I'm listening.
I see Oscar. Sorry, the Wisconsin comes
there out. There he is.
So I'm down there. I'm talking to Oscar. And I say, hey, I says, hi, Oscar, how's it going? And I, you know, I says, oh, this is my friend. Or Zara says, hi, I'm Zara. And I said, oh, my gosh, I forgot to introduce you guys. Anyway.
Then we kissed on the lips.
And I tell him about the podcast, about the show, Life's a Banquet, mid-recording, going to get batteries. He said, have you heard about Nigella Lawson? And I said, no. And Zara, what did you say?
Well, this is
okay,
just...
Okay, we have not Googled
this. This is unconfirmed.
Hold on. While you're doing, go ahead, because I'm going to Google
this is unconfirmed,
it.
But you know what I love about Nigella? I'm going to say this first.
Yeah,
I love
first
about
of all,
Nigella
let's see all the fabulous
that she's
things.
Like, first of all, I love her. She could do no wrong.
Nigella, we adore
there's
everything about
you. Nothing she could
you.
Do except for if she was like maybe a Trump, came out as a Trump supporter, which obviously won't happen. That would be the only thing.
She would never do that.
That could turn me off about her. She's sexy. She's amazing. She has like a bad girl vibe to her, which is like actually legit. She was like married to Saatchi and Carlos Saatchi. And then he like, unfortunately, like really abused her. But I still think it's so interesting that she like, she's just such like a dynamic, like sexy.
Okay. Hold on a
kind
second.
Kind of a hot mess, but just.
No, hold on.
Mostly
a second.
Hot. Yeah.
I forgot. My friend Oscar, and Oscar, if you're listening to the podcast, he gave me this information and it is outdated. It's 4 or 5 years old.
Really?
Yeah, it says she did cocaine and she admitted it in 2013.
Oh. I'm
well, scared. Apparently, we've already forgotten and forgiven her. Nigella.
Nigella, you're fine, girl.
She said she took cocaine for years. Oh, okay. So you lived in a city in your 20s.
Oh, well, he made it seem like it was breaking news.
Yeah. Hold on. She went through the 80s and 90s in her youth and did cocaine.
I mean, girl, who hasn't? But you know what I was saying to Breton? I was like, that's probably why she was always nibbling at nighttime, because she was just like getting high all day, not wanting to eat, obviously. And then it would become, you know, the middle of the night. And she's like, oh, I'm hungry.
Yeah. And listen to this, everybody. Cocaine is a bad rap. And I'm not supporting it by any means. Yeah. But some people use it as, there are people, type A people use it as a tool to get ahead. I mean, yeah. It's not necessarily a party drug. It's like, oh my gosh, I can keep editing my book all night.
Well, I mean, it's just Adderall, right?
It's Adderall. I mean,
now they give it to children.
I will never admit to my drug use. But one time somebody offered me a bump, and it was really late, and I'd managed a shift, and I didn't want to do drugs, but I thought, God, I'm so tired, and I had my bike.
Yeah.
And I had to bike over the bridge at like 3 a.m. So I did a little bump, and I used it as a tool, and I left, and I thought, oh, you know what? That was really nice. And I zoomed over the bridge. Safely and soundly, all senses acute and aware. And I came home and I went to bed and I had a cute little glass of wine.
I zoomed over the bridge.
I woke up the next day at 7 a.m., had a great yoga practice. And you know what? Here I am.
Yeah, you and Nigella both.
Here I am, practically broken bankrupt. See?
Exactly. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. So listen, what's been going on with you, dude? We see each other and talk on the phone like every single day, multiple times a day, but we haven't podcasted.
Running a media mogul company has turned out to be a lot of work.
It really is. I mean, I find myself in meetings with like leaders of industry.
Yeah, like when I was off last week in Florida at the beach for 5 days and didn't answer anybody's phone calls. Mm-hmm. Remember that? I was exhausted.
I absolutely do remember it.
Elon
Musk wouldn't stop calling me and saying, where's Breton?
Well, I thought about this. Right, this is a podcast about food. We talk about everything food and beverage related. And I had a really good week. I interviewed an author and that'll be on a different podcast. I'm very excited to release that. She wrote, her name's Kathleen Collins.
So cool.
And she's very fabulous. And I'll tell you all about that. And I have some of it recorded, and we recorded outside in the sunshine. So it's a little shoddy, but you'll get she was a very wonderful person. And I was in Florida with the family. Right. And whenever I go to the family, and perhaps listener, you're like one of us where you love food and you love cooking and we hope that that's a thing and entertaining. And when I go home, it's like, Breton's here. Like the in-house chef is, my dad's like, wow, it's like having a private chef. And I was like, number one, it keeps me occupied.
Very sweet though, that your dad says that.
I love the family. Yeah. In my years, I've been a nasty bitch in the past.
No.
Well, you know, everybody is when they're a family. We try.
I was just kidding. I mean, obviously.
I bet my dad hates me when I'm there. We actually did. We had a conversation once and we got mad at each other, but I think we're friends again. And I decided this time, I was like, I'm going to please everybody. And we were both doing this 21 days of no complaining. I had to start over again today. But
it's okay.
I guess that's the idea. But I did really well. My sister came up to me and she said, Breton, you're doing a really, really good job with this no complaining thing. She said, you're just kind of letting everything slide off your back.
Yeah, like, it feels good.
Yeah, like a Peking duck. That's she did not say that. And I cooked, and I really wanted to make sure, since I was in their house, I thought, you know what, I'm going to make sure I'm really, really clean. I'm going to make sure while I'm cooking, I'm going to just do the best job. And I did, and that made them happy. And
it's important to do.
I'm in somebody else's house, even though it's my parents and I love them. And I love cooking and I love entertaining. It's actually great because I'm like, oh my God, a giant kitchen.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, instead of my 3-foot by 2-foot countertop, which I produce all kinds of things here in.
You do a good job with the space you got.
I know, but I get really stressed out.
Like, yeah.
You know, that's why everybody knows, including my boyfriend, when I'm in my kitchen, it's a spiritual practice
for
me.
Stay the hell away from me.
I don't want to. Yeah. Like, remember when you had, Zara and I both own restaurants. If you're just coming in.
Yeah.
We both are ex-restaurant owners and chefs and cooks and whatever you want to call us. We love food and we know how to make it.
Love it.
Boom.
Eat it.
We don't need labels.
Look at it.
And you know, like when you're in the kitchen, you would get irritated and I would get irritated.
Never.
And I don't want
that
to.
That never
you
happened.
I don't want to.
Yeah, of course.
You don't want to.
I threaten people's lives and their families' lives.
Well, I did a really good job and made some delicious meals. Caesar
What'd
salad.
You make?
I made Caesar salad. I made pan pizza.
Yum.
With that the lazy pizza dough is, you know, Deb Perlman.
What's so lazy about
it? It's like the Jim Leahy. You put some bread flour. You get about 2.5-3 cups of bread flour.
Okay.
Pour a cup and a half of water, whatever.
I just yawned.
I know you did yawn. I'm boring. Half a teaspoon of yeast.
No, it's the dough.
Half a teaspoon of yeast. You just stir it.
Wow, it's amazing.
You stir it and you let it sit for like 24 hours.
That's great.
And then it's the most delicate pizza dough.
Wow. I got to try it. I've never made any like dough or bread in my life. Do you know that? At Brucey, I never even learned how to make bread.
I know. I remember bread. You were like, you're just like, Zara. Okay. Zara does not make two things. Bread.
Coffee.
Or coffee.
Never. I never made coffee before, ever.
Yeah. And she doesn't care. She'll be like, great, I'm a chef. And guess what? Here's two things I don't do, yeah, bitch.
I'm not making bread.
I ain't making no coffee.
I guess I could learn to make bread. There's no reason I shouldn't learn you to make bread. But coffee, no.
You did make not. Bread last summer in this apartment. And you did
Jenny, Jenny did it.
Yeah, but you did it with her.
No. Not really.
Well, you helped.
I really like, I don't know what it is.
If I, okay, right now, if I gave you the measurements, because you... Your old cook gave them to
me. I know how to make bread.
You would be able to do it and it would be fine. It would be good.
Yes, it would be
And then
fine.
You would practice for two
I just
more
don't
weeks.
Have it in my brain. Like the thing is, most of the things I cook like don't require any like method to them, like beyond what, you know what I mean? Like bread's like, oh, you have to kind of absorb the whole methodology of it.
True. Baking pastry and all that, it requires scales and it's like, more science.
It's true, but even with pastry... I kind of cook most of the pastry that I make.
You do a good job.
I follow a recipe. Thank you. I follow a recipe, but I'm definitely not technical. I'm definitely more of like, oh, I'll just like kind of like eyeball this. I know what a cake batter is supposed to look like. It's supposed to be this thick. So I'll eyeball it.
Well, yeah.
I'll make an olive oil cake.
Speaking of that, my mom always comes up to me just like, and you know, there are two types of cooks. And let me tell you, Zara, you didn't just... You got there by practicing.
Right, that's true.
You probably used to follow recipes and you watched people and you tasted it. You did it over and over and over and over again. And then you thought, oh, this is, I kind of get it now.
Yeah.
And so it seems effortless.
Right, but don't you think you can make a cake, like a basic, like olive oil cake or yellow cake or whatever, eyeballing it?
Right now, if you're like, oh, Bretton make, I always have this test. I'm like, oh, you know, if I were in Top Chef.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh my God, like if I had to make pancakes, I was like, well, probably some eggs and some flour.
Yeah,
and
milk.
Probably some milk.
That,
put some like oil and butter. You could, you know what? Oh, I don't know. Is it oil or butter? Who cares? It's fat. Just put it in.
Just
you
try
know what?
It.
You don't even have to put it in. And then
you don't even have to make pancakes or be on Top Chef.
Yeah. You know what?
You don't even have to be listening to this right now.
You know what? Maybe you just want to eat the pancakes.
Exactly.
Maybe you're gluten free.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're pancake free. Maybe a paleo pancake.
Pancake free diet. You can eat anything but pancakes.
Paleo pancakes are a keto paleo hanky pancake.
Hanky pancake. Oh my God, that would be the best name.
Yeah, if, listeners, if you're listening, I've already trademarked it, so you have to buy that.
Hanky pancakes.
Hanky pancake. Somebody's opening it right now.
Madonna mia, that's
hey,
funny.
Listen, give me credit, okay?
That's amazing. Credit. You got it, girl.
Yeah.
You got it. So you went to Florida.
Made a bunch
of
food.
You had some tension. You made some good food. You slaved away a little bit over the stove, but you had a good time. You built some sandcastles.
You know what my big thing was? My big accomplishment was getting everybody to eat an entire snapper.
That's amazing. How?
And I don't know. Like I roasted at a girl.
Were
fish.
They like... Adverse to eating the whole snapper off the bone?
Nobody complained about it.
Okay.
My brother was a tiny bit squeamish at first. He lives in Colorado and just doesn't have a lot of fish.
Yeah.
And not been a big part of his life. And he was a good sport about it.
That's great.
And
it's
everybody
fun.
Did it. And I taught, you know what? I taught her. I was like, okay, lift up the tail.
Nice.
The backbone has that. And I did it. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm being nice to my family.
Yeah, because you weren't complaining. I'm telling you, there's something to that no complaining challenge.
Finish your beer already.
I'm an animal.
All right, so Zara, tell me about what the heck is going on with you.
Well, listen, a lot is going on with me, and if you're noticing that I sound cheery and I'm kind of funny, I don't sound like a miniature donkey hee-hawing into the microphone. My life is taking a turn.
Mm-hmm.
My life is taking an upswing a little bit. I've been having a rough time in the past couple months. Mm-hmm. Lost a parent, lost a boyfriend to a breakup, not death, thank God.
On my own.
Just having like a tough time.
TT.
Down in the old dumpster roonies. But on my way back from being down in Asheville, my mom and I were driving back. I found out I had gotten a new apartment that I applied for.
And Zara Tangora, come on down.
You are going to rent an apartment in Carroll Gardens.
Hello. Hey, I got to Oh, I got a kid looking at me. Hey, kid.
Hey, sorry. Girl.
We live next to a high school.
So that happened. That was really exciting. And then maybe like an hour later, I kind of flat tire in some
crazy
place in New Jersey on like the dirtiest stretch of road I've ever seen. It was like covered in filth. And I guess I like popped a tire. I went across three lanes of traffic unscathed, flew off the side of the road. And I was like, whoa, life is getting crazy. Then some other crazy stuff happened. I'm kind of getting my groove back and getting out there in the world. I'm a single lady.
So I've got a groove back.
I'm having some highs, some lows, some super shameful situations. Best thing to do with a shameful story is to share it. And then like it gets right off of you. It's kind of like washing
and
your hands.
Guess what? After all that, you still managed to throw a dinner party in your brand
That's
new apartment.
That's true. And so we had a dinner party in my house
not
this
to,
week.
Sorry, not to. I
no,
just
please,
was
I'm
like,
done. You're
I
like, was, end That's a wrap.
No, yeah. And so get back to that.
Enough from
party
you.
We're talking
so
about.
You were mentioning something about a dinner party?
Yeah, totally. You had a really nice dinner party.
I did. So, you know, I still was hardly unpacked. I mean, I pretty much figured out the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. The guest notice. Go ahead.
I worked
just
at
kidding.
The kitchen.
She told her, she's like, I just moved in. It's messy. Come over. We're like, yay.
I worked at the kitchen for
That's
the most part.
That's what you do when somebody moves over. It's you're so excited to see their space.
Exactly.
Like,
you overlook the fact that it's like covered in boxes.
And it kind of like makes you get like one of your rooms together.
Yeah.
Like, okay, hurry up. Everybody's coming
so
over.
So the kitchen is done and the bedroom's done. And I moved into a place that has like a kitchen that's so giant that it's based. It's an eat-in kitchen.
It's like a cook's cook eating kitchen.
Yeah, it's nice.
And it's nice.
I will not lie. It's nice. I feel very grateful. It was a deal. I got a good bargain on this apartment, and it has a beautiful kitchen.
Good old-fashioned Brooklyn steel. When are you going to find that?
I waited a very long time.
Yeah.
So I made fettuccine Alfredo, and we had a freezer lasagna, which I had taken a bite out of before I put it in the freezer like 5 months ago. I'm like, let's just eat this thing, which was like, meh, it was kind of mushy and like a little freezer burn, but it was fine.
It didn't taste freezer burn. Me and Preston reviewed the food after.
Oh,
and
of
we
course.
Really loved. Readers, you can check my other podcast called bitchingaboutyourfriends.com. No, just kidding. We were like, oh, yeah. I said, what do you think of lasagna? It was like from the freezer. And he goes, yeah, it tastes it. He's like, I wish they had more flavor. And I said, well, yeah, it was in the freezer.
Yeah, it was just like kind of like dull. It was in the freezer for a long time.
I know. And I'm like,
yeah,
what are you going to do?
It certainly was not like a lasagna that I would make.
Well, okay.
Normally. That was like an add-on anyway. That wasn't like the focus of the meal.
Yeah, it was like a little extra.
Yeah, I was like, I have this fucking thing, whatever. Fettuccine Alfredo.
Oh,
creamy,
you know what I thought the highlight was?
What?
Was the pizza shop salad.
Thank you.
Okay, so pizza shop salad, listeners. First of all, Zara, you worked in pizza shops.
Oh, yeah.
Zara worked in pizza shops.
I worked in like five different pizza shops when I was growing up.
She just kept, she's like, fuck you, I'm getting next one.
I mean, that's what you do when you're like growing up in Long Island.
North Shore Long Island pizza shops in the 1990s. Like, can you get, this is authentic, folks.
Picture this.
Picture this. Zara Tenkora, Long Island pizza shops, no cell phones.
And no, and I was a delivery girl and I worked behind the counter and I made pizza.
So she knows all about
all.
These pizza shop salads.
Pizza
you
shop
had
salad.
Sliced carrots in it.
That's the thing. You put stuff in it that you think is actually kind of like, stupid to have in a normal salad.
Like stuff in a salad. Yeah, like a carrot.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know, carrot
and
salad.
And always end up liking carrots in a salad.
Yeah, it's actually like if used right. So I put carrots, delicious banana peppers.
Banana peppers were good.
Those
were
good.
And your secret
ingredient. Oh, lard bread croutons.
So in case listeners and those of you who don't live in Brooklyn or New York or don't know about it, you should immediately. Hey,
run, don't
actually,
walk.
Actually, keep the podcast on. Get on a subway, get on a city bike,
get on a plane,
get on a plane,
boat,
and
whatever.
Go to either Mazzola's
or Caputo's.
Caputo's.
I personally like Caputo's a little bit better, although Mazzola's is delicious. It's more like peppery. They have more
black
pepper.
I've had both. I really can't say one's better. I love them. They're both in Carroll Gardens in Brooklyn.
They're both good.
And they're lard bread. And basically, first of all, let's just talk
lard
about
bread.
Lard bread. They're like,
it's delicious.
Hi, we're going to have two sunny side eggs on a lard bread with some. Delicious.
It's good.
Like it's like pepper. It's like salami bread.
It's like basically like if you made like a carbonara into a bread.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh my gosh, it is a thing.
Oh, it's. So
I bought
good.
A loaf back a couple months ago, and I wrapped it in tinfoil, put it in the magical freezer.
Yeah.
And I took it out. I don't remember what we were making. Oh, it was when I had some extra sauce and meatballs, and I toasted it up.
Delicious.
And it's like, you don't have to do anything to it.
You don't do anything. Or you can do a lot of things.
Or put it in croutons.
You can make it in croutons. So that was the thing that I put in the pizza shop salad instead of regular salami. I was telling Breton like an hour ago when we originally recorded this podcast, but I'm going to repeat it because it was cool. It was something that I made clam chowder one time. And I did all the things you'd normally do with clam chowder. Mm-hmm. Then once everything was in it, we didn't make a roux. We just made like the clam broth. And we took the clam broth and we took all the chunks out. So you didn't want to puree that stuff. We pureed lard bread into the clam broth with some cream.
Oh, that's right. It was like you meant.
So we thickened it with lard bread.
I started laughing at your story was because.
Something's on my face.
Zara's always got like a little twist when she cooks.
Yeah.
And then it made me think. My favorite. Okay, first of all, pre-shout out, but yesterday's news, we say it every time. Yesterday's news, that antique shop.
Oh, yeah.
And our favorite, great. One of our favorite workers there, and he always.
Craig.
He loved Brucey, where the restaurant Zara used to own. And when I used to manage there, and he would come in, and he was so. He's so great,
he's
Craig.
He's the sweetest person.
He's the best.
Alive.
And he came in, and he's always like, Zara. He's like super thick. You know, he grew up in like in Carroll Gardens.
Yeah.
He's like, Zara's always got like a little twist on her food. Like she's like, it's like a traditional Italian, but like she's got a little twist.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, it is. Well, you find different ways to use things and be resourceful, which is going to tie into our story.
Oh, speaking of twist, about your sardine.
Oh, yeah.
At your party, you had sardine.
I mean, sardine guacamole.
It was delicious. I told Preston and I had it, and we were dipping those really nice sesame blues or whatever.
Sesame
blue tortilla chips.
Those are the best.
And it tasted like a fish taco dip. This is the only way I could describe it.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
And had we had a nice Baja sauce to drizzle over our...
I think that's a great idea. Actually, that would make like a great, either just like an addition if you made like a, you know, chipotle kind of aioli or whatever for mm-hmm. next time. Or you could put it on a sandwich or like a toast or something like that.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was very good. A great dinner party. I made cannoli.
Oh, yeah.
I brought it over. The ricotta was from Topolo's.
Caputo's.
Caputo's.
But Caputo's, the different Caputo's, the pasta shop, which
not
is different
Caputo's
than the bakery.
Caputo's lard bread when you fly over here right now as you're stepping.
Both in Carroll Gardens, but different places.
As you're stepping onto your own private jet, darling, we'll pick you up at the airport. Car service would be like, whatever your last name.
Insert last name.
And we'll pick you up at the airport. There'll be an Uber waiting for you. But no, Caputo's. And I got that. I made the cannoli cream, you know, shaved chocolate, some orange zest, all the, you know, pistachio. I added some pecans.
You put pecan, which I thought was delicious.
Pecan, I just had some. I didn't think I had enough pistachios. Turns out I did. Pistachio.
Pistachi.
And I just wasn't happy with my shells. And they weren't terrible.
No, they weren't terrible.
You know what? Those
all.
Are the kind of shells that would have benefited from letting it sit.
They would have benefited from letting it sit. And I, like I said moments ago, from dipping it in chocolate.
Dipping it. Yes. Zara told me. And this is a good thing. And guess what? I hadn't made cannoli shells actually ever.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll buy them. And oh, I've made cannoli before. And it turns out I didn't. I didn't have Marsala wine. I used some sherry, which is fine, whatever. They said you can substitute it. You know, I looked up tons of recipes and watched YouTube videos, and I was like, okay, I've done the research. I asked my friend Erica, who's a pastry chef. You know, we talked about it. I had the cannoli molds. My deep fryer breaks. You got to be kidding me. And I'm cooking
What are the odds, huh?
I'm cooking with Preston, my DP, my domestic partner / boyfriend, and he's very methodical, and we were, you know, he follows the rules, which is really good because sometimes I rush through things. And I said, you know what? He's really going to take his time. And we did it right. We used the egg white. I calmed myself down during the cooking process.
Yeah.
And they fried up good, but the deep fryer broke. And
brutal.
I called you. I was like, oh, God, my life. I went into a panic.
I could tell because your text became sporadic and
angry.
Kind of curt.
Oh, I was so mad. I got mad at Preston. I was like, ah, la, la, la,
I was like,
la,
did Preston end up making chicken parm? Like, no.
No,
like,
don't.
Okay.
Don't text me.
That's like,
during a crisis.
Sorry.
But you can't really say that in a text. And there's no
emotion. You can. You should just say, don't text me in a crisis. Like,
there
Brianna.
There needs to be Apple if you're living, because you are. Apple.
Siri.
Hey, Siri. Yes, Breton. I'd like a emoji for crisis. And in that emoji, it's just going to be a picture of me.
Yeah, it's just like
like knife and like
bleeding.
Bleeding. There'll be like a syringe, a martini
a
glass.
Cat attacking your head.
Cat attacking the head and a syringe. Yeah. And a chipped martini glass. Oh God. Anyway,
oh,
so
bad lighting.
That happened.
Yeah.
That all happened and
but you fixed it and they were good.
I had a moment of clarity.
Mm-hmm. And you had to come to Hazelnut.
I had to come to Hazelnut moment, come to cannoli moment. And I was like, just put the oil into a pan on the stove and turn the stove on. I was like, oh, other heat source.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God, the temperature. How am I going to get the temperature? I was like, use electronic infrared. You know, I was like, oh, I have to have. Oh, Amazon.com. I need an infrared thermometer immediately. Yeah. Anyway, it all worked out.
Yeah, I thought they were good.
But they're a little thick.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's a little thick.
I got that cannoli cream in the fridge still.
The cannoli cream is delicious. You know what? Cannoli cake. You were mentioning something about cannoli muffin the other day. I say it's all good. And you know what? That brings me to my next point.
What?
That you got to be resourceful.
Your next toast point.
So listen, you already know what the topic is, but the kids out there don't. So I will tell them that Brent and I...
yeah, I know. I know the story. Like the
we,
back.
Not only did we already
like
do
the
this,
back of my inner thigh.
Not only did we already do this entire podcast an hour ago, but I've also told the story like 40 times
Wait,
to him.
Did we already tell the Cardoon story?
Yeah, we did. We
just now.
We just talked about Cardoons.
See, folks, that's what happens when you drink and smoke weed. You forget things.
Exactly.
You start petting kitties and you forget things.
We laid down a hard line on Cardoons. We're anti. At least I am. You can with me or you can be against me.
It's the conundrum of the Cardoon. I already forgot again. And I'm going to buy one tomorrow.
If you're against me, then I'm telling you.
Hey, what's a Cardoon again? And what do I have to do? Braise it for hours? You know I'm going to text you like next week. Like, what is it again? Braise it?
I'm not helping you with that shit. No, I'm off Cardoons permanently.
Smack out of my schmick.
No way. So... Brenton and I have been working on this podcast for a long time.
Months.
And before we ever recorded one, we practiced one episode over and over and over again until we got so sick of it.
We beat it.
We were like, we can't do this. This is going to be your first episode. And we're like, ugh,
we
no.
beat it to like beat pulp.
Yeah, it was really mushed. It was mushed up there, like whatever.
Something. Yeah, like you ever mash a beet? Ugh.
Yeah, it was like, okay, fine. It was beet pulp. Okay. It was beet pulp, okay?
It was practically borscht.
Yeah, it was basically a, you know, whatever, some kind of smushy beet vibes. I still think it's an interesting story, though. And since I had a dinner party this week, mm-hmm. and since we're kind of, you know, Life's a Banquet is about highs and lows, being resourceful, being fabulous and decadent, even when you're broke, like just kind of living life. Mm. YOLO. YOLT. YOLT is you only live twice. That's my
mantra.
Oh,
that's right. Or YOLN, as my cats call it, and you only live nine times.
Oh.
isn't
that right, Sparkles and Whitman?
They're both like licking gently.
Whitman's like, rich. I already heard this an hour ago. It's fucking boring.
Sorry, my posture's perfect and my tail's being fluffed. What was it?
So, anyway... This story is about the Franco-Prussian War.
Mm-hmm.
And
FPW.
The FP-dubs. So the Franco-Prussian War... Oh, by the way, I got most of my information for this from Vice.com. Ever heard of it?
Yeah.
The Franco-Prussian War, and it was basically when Germany was like starting to take over all of Europe, and Prussian, in case anyone didn't know, Prussia was basically Germany.
For all practical purposes.
Exactly. For all intents and purposes. Is it intents and purposes? Intensive purposes. Intents and purposes.
I don't know.
It's intents and purposes.
For all breakfast. There's got to be a saying for this.
For breakfast. Yeah. Is that what you were saying?
I don't know. I was like, for all practical.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying for breakfast. Anyway. So France had been started being occupied. And in Paris... The Prussians had basically like closed off the city.
So
no one could get in or out. City was closed off.
Go ahead, because I have a thought about this.
What? What is it?
No, go ahead. Because
I was just saying they basically made it so no one could get in or out, so they couldn't get any food in or out. So they were starting to start. They're basically smoking them out.
So Zara tells me this, and I know the story, and I'm thinking in my head.
I says to myself. I says to myself.
Okay, guy, there's a bunch of people starved out in a city. Like, what's the deal? And I think I like how I have like Seinfeld. What's the deal, guy?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, you're right. if let's pretend that New York City was closed off and no trains, and I'm like, well, whatever, we would have food, sure. Yeah, Armageddon, there'd be some canned beans for a while. And if, as you know, the first thing people in New York do is take all the milk.
Exactly, they bring no tofu.
Yeah, tofu and milk.
Yeah.
Get it, folks. And
all of the oat milk and almond milk.
I'm sorry, what you do is you grab masa harina, you get all the dried grains.
Yeah.
In case there's the thing, get the dried grains, get the flour, and get the canned beans.
Right.
That's going to get you through the next, like, you know, few months.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what other things. I'm thinking now more of like supermarket sweep, where they're like running through the supermarket and like,
Zarnin
look at her, she's got the honey baked hams and the high price
oh, at $76 per ham, she has the highest.
I would just be like, you know what, I'm gonna fucking eat the shit out of these, bite right into these big hams until the end of days.
Well, I guess I would just, we're talking about, yeah, I don't know, it's so funny. I'm saying is that if they closed off New York City,
yeah, we would be goners.
Well, so this is the exciting part.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. So, and I'm back.
Cue
so,
Zara.
Hello. So they have the city start, basically trying to starve people out, and it, like in any city, there's not a lot of like farmland. They don't have the capacity to like be growing tons of stuff to feed everyone. So there's not a lot of animals. They're not producing cheese. As everybody knows, food production and growing happens in the countryside. There was not really much difference in 250 mm-hmm, years ago in mm-hmm. 1870. So this is like September 1870. Down here on my notes, it says Franco-Prussian War, 1870. Arrow, bye, boy, Napoleon, bye.
Yeah, Napoleon.
Napoleon.
Not the flaky pastry with vanilla cream.
Not that ice cream with the three different layers, which is delicious.
Oh,
no, the short little motherfucker who gave a complex to all other little short motherfuckers to follow him and was losing this war terribly.
Hey, by the way, I'm a short guy, and I'm not that
short.
I'm 5'7". 5'9" with Birkenstocks.
You don't keep saying you're short. You're going to give the people the wrong impression of you.
Because I have a big personality.
And a big heart.
And a... I got a real big heart on my...
You're not short. I think a short man is under 5'5".
True. I am not under 5'5".
You're not super
and, you
tall.
You know what? And if I were... Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can be short. Just don't be like angry. Or be angry. Just
why would
be
I ever be angry? Why would you say that? Why would you even... Seriously, like, I'm so angry right now that my cat is... Sorry, just kidding. Go ahead.
Whitman's like, I'm leaving.
Sorry, go ahead. As you were saying.
He just packed his tiny kitty suitcase.
Oh, God. He had the scariest face I've ever seen.
He's like, peace out. I don't need this shit. I already heard this story. Now you're yelling.
Oh my God, I need that on camera.
Okay, so they started getting mad hungry. Okay.
Yeah.
Women, watch sparkles, it. Close your ears. So they cooked over 7,000 animals that they just had in the city.
Cats,
dogs, horses. And
yeah, that's
not included in the number is an unknown amount of rats. And so not only did they cook them, they, in true French form, did everything the most fabulous way it could be done. So they set up these like butcher shops that were cat and dog butcher shops.
I got to think of all the apprentices learning so quickly.
I know. They're like, oh, I've wanted to be a butcher my whole life. Like, thank God. Now we're all starving. I can learn to break down a cat.
Four-legged creatures are kind of the same.
I mean, they kind of are.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's the difference really between like a dog and a lamb?
Or a human.
Yeah. Okay. So everything's going to complete shit. No food. People are kind of pissed. They're trying to make the best of it, but it becomes pretty evident they're all going to die of starvation. So in December, they decide they're going to stop feeding the zoo animals, which I would have decided a lot like earlier. I would have been like, well, if the zoo animals can eat whatever this pet food is, large animal pet food, why can't we eat it? We're eating rats. I mean, we could eat some hay.
I'm telling you, it's the French, and they had a reason, and there was something, and it could have been religious. It could have been, oh, well, these zoo animals are created by Noah.
Yeah,
Zark.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
I love Noah Zark.
Oh, Noah Zark.
Noah Zark, have you seen his latest film? It's a French noir, black. Basically, two horses run up a field, and then people die in the spillover.
So they're like, we are not going to feed these guys anymore.
Screw you.
And
zooers.
Yeah, they're like, we don't need this anymore. We can't. No one's even working here. Who's even going here? Everyone's starving. They're not like, oh, you know, I'm going to have like a rat sandwich and then head to the zoo with the family. So a gentleman by the name of Alexandre Etienne Charon.
Oh.
the guy who made my Sharona sauce, Sharon sauce, which is a béarnaise with tomato puree and no tarragon.
Yeah, yeah. Béchamel, whatever.
Béarnaise.
You must have had one of the French mother sauces, please.
Well, this is from this guy. And so he basically was like the Daniel Boulud of the time in Paris. Mm-hmm. He had the fanciest restaurants, white tablecloths, gloved waiters, crystal and silver, crystal, everything, yes. This and that.
Leaded crystal.
For high society.
Yes, darling. The bourgeois Paris. Absolutely. Everywhere, darling.
The bourgeois motherfucking Z.
I have two more foie gras torchon.
Ooh, I love torchon.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I love it.
Oh, we talked about the torch.
I love it. So anyway, they all had what I picture being like a menu meeting, like when we used to sit around at Brucey and be like, oh, we're going to do a New Year's Eve party. We should do a retro 50s vibe, and we'll do fried rice and a pineapple, and we'll do lobster thermidor and crazy Rat Pack mm-hmm. vibes. That's what they were doing, but discussing how to cook the zoo animals for Christmas. So,
Okay, go ahead.
So they're like, we're going to cook these zoo animals at this fancy restaurant in the most fabulous way possible. They all go around, they start deciding what to do, and not just Christmas Day, but basically for a whole week between Christmas Eve and New Year's. Because obviously animals yield quite a bit of meat. So they're like, all right, listen, we are not going to use the following animals. Lions and tigers, out. Don't know why.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think you would eat a lion and tiger, maybe too sinewy, who knows? Monkeys, no, absolutely not. They wouldn't eat a monkey. What were you saying? It was in Temple of Doom?
Temple of Doom.
Where they ate the monkey brains?
The monkey brains. Yes. The number. And they, remember, they cracked it open. And
yes. Oh. Scary. As a child, that scared me. Although
That's like all I remember from the 80s.
Yeah.
Is that.
That was
don't eat monkey brains.
Very scary scene. Then also, I watched Faces of Death with narrated by.
Didn't you said your mom.
My mom would let me go to the video store and rent anything.
Hey, honey, pick up a bottle of whiskey, Faces of Death, and there's a joint in... We love your... Bobby.
Bobby, you're amazing. You're a friend of the show.
Hands...
For sure.
Hands off parenting. You know what? Let her learn.
Yeah, she's got to learn somehow. She's going to learn about monkey brains. You know, one day she's going to have a famous podcast.
You know what?
Talk
I can protect
it.
Her from Faces of Death, but at the end of the day, she's going to see those in college anyway.
Exactly.
She's going to see those in... When our president gets voted in, it's happening as
precisely. I also watched Basketball Diaries. Was like my favorite movie when I was in like the fourth grade. I saw Pulp Fiction in the theater.
I saw Pet Sematary and had to run out. I snuck in.
You snuck in and then you were like immediately regretted
it. Yeah, I was with
it.
My friend and he told everybody and I was so embarrassed that I didn't even know how to handle it.
It was very
and
scary.
And then I actually just was honest. Somebody said, Brandon, we heard you ran out of Pet Sematary. I was like, yeah. That was the scariest, most disturbing movie of my life, and I'm not ashamed to be afraid of it. Afraid of an Indian burial ground that brought back a child to life is certainly something scary.
I mean, we can have our own podcast that could be like 30 episodes long just about Pet Sematary and all the problems with that film.
There was a lot of problems.
What's wrong with that guy? You saw that what it did to the cat. You saw what it did to the cat. Why do the same thing to your child? Also, why were they playing so close to the highway?
That
just
was the
rich
big thing.
Family?
Like,
they're like, oh, let's play here next to the road.
They had four warning things of like, oh, hey, like, yeah. I don't know. I'm sure kids do stuff.
I know, but they like were having a picnic on the highway.
That was very odd.
I can't. So anyway.
Why didn't they just put a speed trap there?
Why didn't they just play in their own yard or like in a park or at the beach or like anywhere else other than next to like a truck? Lead in highway.
There you go. We have episodes 1 through 5 laid out for you.
Unbelievable.
And each one is worth 50 minutes.
I'm trying not to complain too, but if you get me started on Pet Sematary, I just can't stop. All right. So anyway, they wouldn't eat the monkeys because they said they were too human.
Mm-hmm.
True dat. That's how outbreak started. One of my greatest fears in life, a virus gone out of control. And they wouldn't eat the hippos either, which is confusing.
What's wrong with hippo? Hungry hippo.
A hungry hippo.
Maybe that's why.
They ate the elephants. I'm going to tell you about that next. And essentially, a hippo is just an elephant with a different schnoz and short legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
extra seven.
And it's
wet. Actually, they are very dense and heavy, I think, hippos.
They have gross a gross set of teeth.
Well, and depending on what kind of elephant, are we African, Asian, right, et cetera. Right, right.
Okay. Well, they didn't eat the hippos. They just let it like starve to death and rot away in whatever gross pond it was sleeping in. So then Castor and Pollux were named after the two sons of Zeus, and they were the zoo's most popular animals. It says here in my notes, Castor and Pollux - eaten. So some of
in case I forgot what happened.
Yeah, they got eaten. Duh. Some of the other things they made on this incredibly lavish menu, I'm telling you, they pulled out all stops. They brought out some like vintage Rothschild wine. Like this was a big, BFD, big effing deal.
I'm confused.
They just the went for story. It. They're like, we have all this wine that they've been hiding. They have all this stuff. They're used to living fabulously.
They're probably like, we're just going to die.
They're like, live free or die, basically. You know?
Yolt.
Yeah. Yolt. They're like, see you in the next lifetime, mm-hmm. y'all. So one of our favorite dishes, you and I think agree on this, that they had on this menu was stuffed donkey head with sardines.
Oh, I love... This is... Yeah, that's what inspired you to make
that's
that
That's what inspired sardine. My guacamole. There was also donkey head in it. You probably didn't taste it, though. You don't have a very refined palate.
Well, it's just funny because I... It's not that I'm a refined palate. I just think that when you add donkey fat, it just sort of absorbs whatever else.
Right. Made. It's totally
and
like...
if I were doing it again, I never would have added
You would have left the donkey yeah. head fat out of it.
Just kind of pointless. But
you already said that you and Preston really liked it. So now I feel like you're just bitter.
Yeah. Well, you can review my dinner party review that
Your
I
Google
left.
Review?
My Google review of Zara's dinner party.
There was too much donkey hair in that. So anyway, they pulled the hair off the donkey's head with a hot iron.
Oh my God. Oh, that's... So... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes. We'll get back to that. And then they stuck prunes in its eyes.
We'll get back to the hair iron thing.
Yeah. We're going to iron off our hair at the end of this episode.
So, I just want to have a nice clean sear on my skin when I'm served to the guests.
Absolutely. Me too.
That's right.
Prune eyes. They also had things like elephant consomme.
Classic.
Elephant trunk. I mean, that is a classic. You learn that in any
culinary
classic
school.
It's in the Art of French Cooking. It's on the first page. Mm-hmm. Trunk in sauce chasseur.
Not Chiron, but chasseur.
Chasseur. They had elephant bourguignon. They had fried camel.
Eat your heart out, Julia.
Exactly. And Martha. I bet Martha never made no kangaroo stew.
Martha's probably like, I actually already made three types of elephant bourguignon.
She's like, I love making elephant every time on safari. I kill an elephant with my bare hands.
We actually use the old sick and tired elephant. So they're...
they made wolf and deer sauce, cat flanked by rats, and antelope and truffle sauce.
I wonder if that's... Okay. I wonder if that's how the translation happened, like cat flanked in rats, right? That sounds, oh my God, that's shocking in English.
Yeah.
You know how if you ever go to some Chinese restaurants, have like Flushing swirl brown with like feet of chicken, you're like with pork liver, intestine, yeah. and kidney. You're like,
you're like, oh wow, that's all sounds like it maybe doesn't go together, but in, let's see how you tie it all in.
In Chinese, they're like, It's like saying like, I don't know.
It sounds
like,
better.
It's goulash.
Yeah, exactly. Every culture probably sounds better
so maybe
in their own
maybe
words.
Maybe cats flanked in rat in French.
It probably sounds beautiful.
Yes.
Le chat.
Le chat avec un raton. I don't even know what rat is.
Yeah, I don't know what rat is either. Le chat avec raton. But anyway, so then they basically gave up after that, not long after. They surrendered and then like life kind of went back to normal. But I think it's amazing. Yada, yada, yada.
The story, yada, yada.
Yada, yada,
back.
Yada. World War One, blah, blah, blah. World War Two.
French fries became freedom fries and the rest
French
is
toast, thing. Wine, escargot. Here
French,
we are.
French dressing. French name that movie. John Cusack, Better Off Dead.
Oh, I haven't seen it in so long.
He had a French foreign exchange unit. Anyway.
I don't think he would have been better off dead. He's very funny. I'm glad he's still alive.
Yeah, it was a great, it was a wonderful...
Misnomer.
Great, yeah, wonderful, groundbreaking movie.
No, it's amazing. So that's basically the story. So the point of telling this story is just that it's incredible to me
yes.
how some people have a determination that goes way beyond anything that's going on around them. And
yes.
kind of like an Auntie Mame, how she lived... in her beautiful, fabulous apartment and wore these amazing clothes, even the times like were the hardest. And it's
yep.
kind of like, I don't know. I mean, life.
One has to remind themselves to be fabulous.
Yeah. Well, like life gets very, very, very hard sometimes and very unexpectedly difficult. Like we learned today, we have some friends who are going through a deep tragedy.
We can't even repeat it. No, we would never repeat it. But just terrible.
It was deep tragedy.
It was a very sad thing.
And life just really, really will change on you for the better or for the worse. And not that like, you know, we're not implying here like, oh, so no matter what happens, be fabulous. But always understand that there's a part of you that can shine when you're ready for it to shine.
Yeah.
When you're ready, if you are.
I guess it was, you know, we've all gone through periods of this and that, the other, you know, 2017, 2018 wasn't my favorite year, but I guess I do have to remind myself constantly and just to say, you know what? Let's bring up bring out your finest champagne glasses and serve some high life in it.
Exactly.
Who cares?
Absolutely. I mean,
look at us, Pacifico, 6 p.m. on a sunny Brooklyn day.
We're doing it. I mean, in little ways, you know, when my dad died, my mom and my ex-boyfriend came down to Asheville, and the night after my dad died, we went out for like a fabulous meal and we drank sidecars and ate barbecue and remembered him, you know, and I'm not in any way implying sometimes the sadness is too great. You can't do that for months or years even, and that's okay.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I always say it is sad. You know what? One of my friends, I had a friend die in Chicago. He actually wanted, his life goal was to go travel around Southeast Asia, and he did it, and he fell off the moped and died.
Jesus.
But, and he was a really fun guy, great guy. Joe, fabulous guy. And he was he was a waiter at the time, and he was the most fun person. He was like, He was always just like, we would go in Chicago Chop House, and he would like pour us the best, most expensive Cabernet and give us like the Magina steaks. And when he died, I had another friend that was very good friends with him, and he was very, very sad. And I was like, you know, it's true. It is very sad. Loss is a real thing. And you can't deny that. But he's always like, you know what? Joe is probably laughing at us and being like, fuck you guys. I'm like, have a cocktail. Calm down. You know, like if you can sort of listen to that, hopefully if that person that you loved, that voice, again, it's sad, but try to live. That's the voice you're eventually going to hear.
Right.
Hopefully.
And it's so different for everyone. I think whether it's loss of your business, loss of a loved one, loss of a parent, just like loss of a relationship, whatever kind of loss you're dealing with in this case, like just like loss of your day-to-day life in this story of these people in Paris, you know, it's like,
maybe I guess sadness can be celebrated in a sense.
Here's the thing. It can be.
Or honored.
Whether or not you do it is personal. You know what I mean? And if you don't do it, you're not like a shitty person or a failure. Yeah, you're just a person. But it's possible.
True.
It is like a little tiny flame lives in you.
Yeah, there is a tiny
flame. You can nurture it. And if you don't, that's totally fine. But just remember that you can if you're ready and you want to.
I like to nurture my sadness flames with nachos and burritos.
Yeah.
When I'm sad.
I nurture mine with cigarettes and tequila.
You like to nurture a flame with starvation. You're like, I can't feel anything.
Yeah.
The pit of my stomach feels empty. You're like, that's delicious. And I was like, this burrito is taking all my pain away until the next burrito, which is usually right after it.
That's funny.
Why burrito?
Okay. I have a question for you. Now we're going to segue to a little segment we like to do here on Life's Banquet called Top 5.
Top 5.
So my top 5 questions for you today, Brett and Scott Aruni.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Are the top 5 dishes something out of nothing dishes? So basically, like, if you're at home, like something you make, it could be a classic dish, like, you know, a peasant dish or something like that.
Okay. Something like egg sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I'm like, oh God, I have nothing. I was like, I know you have some bread in the freezer, and I always make an egg sandwich and I always put spicy sauce on it.
Perfect.
Put some my scallions, and I'll toast the bread and do something, and I'll just like rub whatever I have on it. You know, I'll rub whatever I have on the bread.
Yeah.
No, you know, like mustard.
Exactly.
I'll rub it on the bread. And I put, you know, condiments and that's number one. Number two is, this is actually a really good question because this last week I have been bare bones in my kitchen because I was on vacation.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get everything into my freezer and I didn't have a lot of, I was like, I don't want to spend a bunch of money and whatever. I was like, I'll just eat something.
Yeah.
a can of beans, but I didn't have a can of beans. Or, I'm sorry, I did have a can of beans, but I made refried beans. And then, but what I do, and I'm very fortunate to have Mr. Mango.
Yeah,
I'll dress it up with some cilantro, scallions.
Yeah,
and you know, put some hot sauce, vinegar, peppers.
Yeah, like, delicious.
That's number two. Number three, pot. You know what? Buttered pasta with Parmesan cheese. And if you don't know Parmesan cheese...
Spaghetti with butter and cheese, my favorite.
If you don't have butter and cheese, then just butter will do.
Yeah, just butter and a little water. That's what, how you make it creamy. That's the secret. Bermonte, the kitchen secret.
Bermonte. Google it. Look Bermonte. It up. It's a real thing. That's number three. Number four is an Adderall and a beer. And I'm just kidding.
I know you said it. Stuck. You said it.
I'm just kidding. That's number four is, I mean, if I, like a can of tuna.
I love a can of tuna.
And then if I don't have mayonnaise, I'll use yogurt. If I don't have yogurt, I'll use mustard.
Oh, I love like, yogurt and tuna. One and of my favorite combos.
You know, pop some almonds there, you know, go through, I'm sure you got something. It is true. Like once you realize in your, you look through your cabinets and I have a lot.
Yeah.
I was trying to think like number four and, oh, you know what? The other day, quesadillas.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That'd be my number five.
Perfect.
I feel like somehow I always have two tortillas, right? Like I'm always like, oh, weird. I have two tortillas.
And that's
then
strange.
I, and
it's
then
like
I have
magic.
Like a dried like side of cheddar that's not moldy, but it maybe like I left the plastic.
Too dry.
I left it out of the plastic wrap. Yeah. I know. Whatever. Secrets of the rich and famous. And I'll, you know, once you cook it, it rehydrates. And you just put whatever you got. Put some pickles in it.
Absolutely.
I did something really funny in Florida because I went to quesadilla and I remember I had some spicy sauce and
yeah.
I found some like I found one mushroom and Preston didn't like, oh, I put brie in it. Brie cheese.
Oh, okay.
It's brie cheese gets weird.
I think it would be good.
I ate the whole.
What else did you put in? A pickle and a mushroom?
Some, yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There's a pickle and a mushroom.
And some scallions.
What don't you put scallions in? Are you working for Big Scallion?
Scallions are, they're anti-cancer. They're very good for you.
I love a scallion. I like all alliums.
All right, ready? Top five, go.
Okay. So my top five things of something, make something out of nothing, is what I call like a crunch bowl, which would be, I always have like nuts in my house and I always have something pickly. So a crunch bowl for me would be like nuts and pickles and some like herbs baseline. Maybe like some yogurt.
But some kind of acid. A savory crunch
bowl. So like nuts.
My mind kind of immediately went sweet.
No. Nuts, pickles, maybe tuna fish. But it's always like nuts and something pickly, some oil.
It's the
herbs. And I eat it with
a spoon. It's like savory muesli.
Exactly.
With pickles and fish.
Exactly.
Delicious.
And I'll always just eat it with a spoon. And that's like something like really quick. In general, I think one of my favorite make something out of nothing dishes is panzanella.
Oh, that's a good, you know what? Good one.
Yeah. If you just have, because most of us like who like to cook always have like bread in the freezer. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you have a dinner party and you're like, oh, I didn't finish the bread. Don't throw it out, people. Don't throw it out.
Put it in a freezer bag and put it in the freezer.
And then you can make panzanella.
Mm-hmm.
In the same vein, I guess number three as panzanella is ribollita.
Oh, yeah.
I love a ribollita bread soup, Tuscan bread soup. Delicious.
Very Italian. Yeah.
And delicious. I guess something else that I really love would be like a cold noodle salad or like any kind.
Cold
like I usually have
salad, yeah.
Like mung bean threads in my house or soba noodles. But
I
even if you just
mung bean threads,
I always have mung bean threads because they're gluten free.
Fresh ramen, and I usually have.
I'm paleo, so I'm not paleo, but I do have mung bean threads.
I'm keto paleo, no decaf, double quad, soy foam latte.
I'm sorry, a mung bean thread is delicious. Great texture. They're gooey and slippery.
You don't even have to. Oh, you do have to cook them. You have to soak them. Yeah, just soak them.
They're
delicious.
I cook them too. If you just soak them, they can really be too tough.
They're super carby, but they do have some protein.
Yeah, they're great.
Whatever, they're good. I always feel good when I eat them.
I think they're delicious. So, like mung bean threads with like just some like ponzu sauce and I don't know, maybe a little almond butter or something. And then I guess my last make something out of nothing. Oh. I always make like a can of like white beans, tomatoes, onions with a little bit of butter and like maybe some basil and lemon.
Put some butter in it.
That's like
true.
The best.
Put some butter in it. Last night I had a friend come over for dinner and I was like, oh God, I have no food. I didn't plan. Of course I didn't plan because I didn't plan. And I was like, oh God, oh, I have, oh, how embarrassing. I was like,
picturing you running around the house actually doing that.
I know. Yeah. There's my 21 days of no complaining. Oh, God. I'm like nagging. I'm like my own nag.
You're nagging yourself?
Oh, Breton, come on. What did you do it this time?
Take out the trash, Breton.
And I was like, well, I guess I do have some roasted tomato soup that I made back in January in the freezer. I was like, those are an individual... And I did. I was like, oh my God. I was like, who's this organized person?
Yum.
Popped it in a pot in the oven.
Amazing.
Walked to Whole Foods, decided the line was too long. I mean, they got to do something about that if you're listening, Fort Greene Whole Foods. And then I had some of that leftover marble rye in the freezer.
Seinfeldian.
There goes that cheese again.
Yeah.
And I was like, there you go.
A little bit of that crusty cheese.
And it looked good. I was like, oh my God, it looked like I knew what it could.
I mean, you posted a picture about Instagram and I was drooling.
It was delicious. Okay, you're on number four.
Oh, four, that was it. I think I did five. I said the bean thing. I said the mung bean threads.
Okay.
I said a crunch bowl.
I like
bowl.
How we're checking your work.
I said a crunch bowl. I said panzanella and ribollita. Five.
Fine, whatever.
Those are my five favorites.
Who's counting anyway? Not me.
So the next segment that we do here is called The Chef Recommends, in which we do a shitty
recommend.
Millennial impression about what the chef would recommend.
They're our bread and butter.
What the chef would recommend.
It's so funny because this is actually early 2000s. Like, chef recommends that you don't shave the Parmesan on.
Chef recommends that you just make no substitutions.
Chef recommends
that you
eat the raw chicken. It's a better texture.
It's really funny because in menu meetings that I would give, I would always be like, okay, so please tell them that the kitchen recommends. Same thing.
You hate yourself.
I hate you, Zara. You suck.
True though. Where would we have gotten without people recommending?
Absolutely, putting their foot down and being like, "No, we're not."
Chef recommends you try the orange wine with this.
Absolutely.
You know what? Because I work at this restaurant part time. I manage this fabulous restaurant, which I won't say, but I heard a customer the other day say, "Oh, do you have any orange wine?"
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? 10 years ago, you didn't randomly hear orange wine.
No. I mean, I remember when we opened Brucey, we had a ton of orange wines on our list that we had, and that was kind of becoming a thing at that point. No one had, and we had explained to every single person what that was.
In 2007, I didn't know what orange wine was. Actually, they had it at a really good place back in the day. I don't remember what it was.
In case anyone out there is listening and doesn't know what orange wine is, it's just a wine that's made with white grapes that are left to ferment on the skins.
And so the color becomes slightly orange.
Yeah, and the wine is tannic.
Tannic has it's natural tasting, whatever that means to anybody, but it's delicious.
It's delicious.
It's fun. It's different.
Awesome. There's some amazing amazing orange wines out there. So
orange.
Today my chef recommends question is tips for making a cheap dinner party. Because, you know, we just listened to the thing about where people ate zoo animals for a party. So it could either be cheap or just like a creative dinner party.
Okay, well, I...
Resourceful.
Remember a long time when I was like, make a giant hamburger.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
That would be fun.
A giant hamburger is amazing.
My very first thing of the very... I was like, if I wanted to be unique and not that everything has to be unique and different because it doesn't, but if you said, oh, I want to put a little twist on it.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'll do burgers. And I'm like, oh, I'll make a giant hamburger. And you don't even have to get, remember I was like, oh, I'll make some bread and I'll put some dough in it. Screw that. I bet somebody's got a round bowl, and a bowl is
a big ass bowl.
Yeah. Big ass bowl.
One big bowl.
One big round bread. And you just you take some of the bread out of the middle and you toast it, butter it, and then put a giant... You would just bake a giant patty of meat in a...
That sounds amazing.
In a cast iron pan.
Yeah.
And then you would slice it like a burger pie. It's a thing, folks.
Burger pie.
It's everywhere.
I'm telling you right now, people are going to hear this. Guaranteed large format burgers are going to start showing up on menus. You heard it here first. We have a trademark.
Think
David
Chang.
Think
about that. If you buttered the bread and took that down and layered it and had like, it would be like one of those Italian stuff things.
Yeah, like a muffaletta, but like with a burger inside.
In the form of a slice.
A burger muffaletta?
Oh my God, with like a ton of...
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, but it would be like a stuffed pizza.
You need like a giant brioche because a boule would be like two. Or you know what else you could do?
That's what I said, if you took the bread out of the middle.
Oh, right. But I still feel like it would be like crunchy.
Brioche would be really nice.
A brioche would be delicious. Or like if you have an Italian bakery near you, like going and getting like a big
Italian bread.
Because they make those big round Italian breads.
Round Italian breads, and they're soft.
And they're soft.
And we always eat it, and we always say, what is this bread?
I don't even want to know.
And it's fun.
It's just bleached ass white flour. It's delicious.
Bleached and bromated.
Yeah. It's good,
exactly.
Though.
Exactly. So that, I don't know. That's,
I think that's a fun one. And like what, like sheet tray, like oven fries?
Sheet tray oven fries or sheet tray nachos. Remember yeah. we said that?
Oh, I mean, burger and like sheet tray nachos.
You know what else is actually a good one if you have a little bit of time and what? You have a good store? Is, and I did this once a couple years ago, is mussels.
Oh, yeah. That's good. They're affordable.
And if you get affordable mussels, and I'm not kidding, you can feed 6-8 people for $10.
Yeah.
And you get a can of beer. You get a can of Budweiser yeah. and you pour the mussels in a pot. You almost can't overcut. Like
no, that's totally true.
And you throw some, you know,
and then
garlic,
like some like yeah, you just have
parsley
like big,
and some garlic and some lemon.
Right, of course. Just make like delicious like giant pot of mussels and then have like clam bread. People just like tear off like baguettes and like.
And dump everybody
them
has
in.
Mussels and everybody is like, oh my god, you're such a good cook. And
yeah.
You're like, all you did is put poisson. Put filet poisson in the pot and push on yeah. hot. Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah.
Gas number four.
No, that's a good idea. I think
there's all kinds of fun stuff.
I think for like a good cheap dinner party, I think a chili party is super fun.
Chili party.
A chili party and you have fixins. I love
the
fixins.
That's chili and soup.
I love fixins.
Everybody, the fixins.
And like, you know what I noticed the other day when we had that dinner party? Most of the time when I have a dinner party, I am so like fixated on making sure that like everything is perfect. I pull down all the good china. I make sure everything goes together. Oh no, we're having this and this. But the other day we just had pizza shop salad. Mary made barbecued ribs. We had fettuccine alfredo. There was like a random lasagna on the table that kind of made no sense, but we had it.
I stuffed the cannolis at the table.
You stuffed the cannolis at the table. We had off of paper plates, which you and I got in a fight about.
Zara and I, okay.
We had
Zara and I got in a fight over paper plates, but at the end of the meal, I was like, how dare you? I was such a bitch. I was like, I can't believe I'm coming over to somebody's dinner party and they have glass behind them and they're serving me in paper plates. I was disgusted. And then at the end, I was so, remember how tired I was?
Yeah.
So tired. And
I didn't want
to
wash dishes.
I always like to help people do dishes and Preston looks at me and goes, paper plates are looking pretty,
I know.
Pretty nice right
well,
now.
Because
and
the
I go,
reason
they,
was we had to wash the plates before we use them.
They were,
and after they had just gotten out of storage,
they were exactly.
And I bought the paper plates because I thought we were going to be 15 when we were only 7. Anyway,
and they were recyclable.
Exactly. And sometimes, but what my point is, I'm trying to make is that like I had a lot of fun the other day with everything being a hodgepodge, not caring so much about the perfect this or the perfect that, and we had like all this like random kind of like lowbrow food, and then like Becky bought the Frank Cornelison Contadino, and we had a bottle of Radicon, and we had a bottle of like Guttaro, like 2010 Primitivo.
I wasn't drinking, so I had a Campari and seltzer at my dinner. I was like, darling.
I know. I was shocked. It's like something's deeply wrong with Brett.
I was sick.
Yeah,
it
you
was
were
a true
sick.
Thing. I didn't want to smoke pot or drink.
I know.
We got
so
problems,
weird,
folks.
But I just think like that's fun. So for a chili party, like I don't know, chili with all the fixins and like a couple bottles of champagne. And like a bucket of beers.
Yeah, we're like, just a lowbrow dinner
yeah,
party.
Yeah, just never but save the money. Just make a pot of chili, grate up some cheese, dice an onion and a tomato and a jalapeno and some shredded iceberg lettuce, and then ball out and get some fun champagne. And then get beer for after everyone. But anyway, so that's
yeah, we'll
what I
a,
recommend.
We'll one of these days we'll have a call in where you guys can call and ask us questions because I think it's fun.
It
I
is
love
fun.
It's curating. Actually more. It's also fun to tell somebody else.
I know, because then you're like,
I get stressed out.
I'm yeah.
Like,
oh. But that, you know, that's what I think we recommend. So what are your shout outs this week for places that you like?
Shout outs. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Since I was in Florida, we ate at this really wonderful taco joint, which I'm going to put on. I can't remember the name right now. I started on it was so good. I started on my Google Maps and they had these wonderful quesadillas. And I always think, oh, Florida's more Cuban. South Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
More Cuban. They have a lot of Puerto Rican, so there's right. not too much really good Mexican food. But this place is really good. And I'm trying to think here what did I have since I came back?
Oh, well, we can't talk about
what
about where you work.
Oh no, we can't.
Every
yeah,
single
nepotism.
I know. On every single episode, we're always shouting it out. Then
we said it before. And what did you? What anything that you had?
Yeah. I had a couple of things that I thought were really good. What were they? Oh, okay. I got it. So I think my shout out this week is to a place that I have frequented a lot in the past.
Yes, yeah,
I went in there the other night, not to eat, but just to drink after like the Chametant after party. We went to Achilles Heel in Greenpoint, which is really, I think, the
Achilles
best bar.
Heel, yeah.
It's the best bar.
They have that beautiful fireplace.
It's so chill. And I just want to shout out Desi, who's the executive chef there, a young, beautiful, woman who is running that kitchen, small kitchen, making really nice food. We didn't eat, but I've had her food before, and she's just very like lovely and charming. And I'm reluctant about like women chefs because it should be just like less of a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like not such a novelty. But always happy to give a high five to like women in the industry. So high five to Desi and Achilles
Don't know
Heel.
Her, but hey.
Great, great, great vibes in that place. Nice natural wine. Super good vibes. And also Caputo's in my neighborhood. Both of them.
Caputo's
Bakery and the Caputo's.
We love both of them.
Pasta shop.
Yeah, their ricotta is delicious.
The ricotta was top notch.
I kept that ricotta, and I think I told you I kept it in that thing. I'm going to scoop it right into my mouth.
Yeah, I'm going to make my friend. There's leftover mozzarella. I'm going to make my friend Kira, who's the GM over at Prime Meats, a thank you lasagna because she's always very nice about getting me a reservation.
That's right. A thank you lasagna.
This will air after she's already got it. It's not a spoiler.
You know what? We're going to end that on that this week. And I always say this to myself because I used to do it more. I don't know what happened the last couple of years. I just, you know.
Say it with a lasagna.
I got a little lazy, but I used to be. I was the biggest. I would bake something and bring it to my bartenders. I was like, I don't care if they eat it.
Yeah.
You bring something to a restaurant staff. If you go, maybe you're not, you don't work in the restaurant industry, but you go with something home, you know, test it first, make sure it's delicious. But even
but
then,
of
the
course.
Gesture. Bringing somebody fresh cookies. I remember Dory Greenspan always says that. She says, bring somebody fresh cookies.
Of course she says that. She has cookies coming out of her ears.
Yeah, she can't stop making
cookies.
She
bakes them in her sleep. How does she stay so thin?
She doesn't eat them.
Really?
I don't know. I think she vomits them out.
Come on.
Just kidding.
Dory.
She does. She,
Dory,
she
if you're listening, he's kidding.
She's French. They take like a nibble and they're like, yummy. I enjoyed the flavor. And
that's
and then I'll give it to my friends.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they do it.
I guess I do the same thing. If I bake something, like even when we had that dinner party the other night, there's like leftover fettuccine Alfredo. I was like, there is no possible way I'm keeping this in my house.
No, you have to give it away.
You must.
And for those of us that love to cook, I love to make, yes, sometimes I freeze stuff. And,
yeah.
But, or, you know, drop it off a homeless shelter. I don't know if you got those, but.
Yeah.
Something. You got to give it away. But yeah, give gifts to people.
Well, let's get to gift giving right now.
You know what? I'm going to make those blueberry muffins, I promise you.
Okay, and then we can bring them to Marty while we drink martinis.
And I'm going to drink martinis.
Okay. Bye, everyone. We love you. Sparkles
Women. See you next week on Life's a Banquet, the podcast.
Bye. Hi. All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star, award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Breton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.